All right, Chalk Nation, I'm back, and we are hitting the podcast with a new guest here. We're going to be talking about photography, cinema, social media, and all that entails a camera. So we're here with Duke, and he is a photographer for the CrossFit Games and CrossFit, and he used to own a gym. And am I missing anything?
Yeah, a whole lot.
So basically, what I think would be really cool is if we can explain to everybody the type of equipment that they need to use to up their social media game. Some cheap things they can get into, some tricks that they can do to make themselves look better. Or maybe they're not into social media and they just want to take some really cool photos somewhere outside or with their family or whatever they want to do. But a lot of people are getting really into photography and taking photos and videos and such. And it's overwhelming our lives, I feel like, a little bit. Everybody's living on Instagram. I feel like there's going to be more car accidents than anyone's ever seen pretty soon.
Yeah, 100%.
But we could talk about your story and how you got into photography, because I think it's really, really cool. We touched on it a little bit, and I wanted you to save it. So when I first met Duke, I was coaching at a gym, and he came in as a member and always talked to me about opening a gym, and he had questions about it. And then lo and behold, he wound up opening his own gym, and then photography was born. in Orange County.
That's pretty much how it happened.
Let's talk about that.
All right, yeah. So I opened a gym, and I wanted to help people. I didn't know how, so I thought, oh, I'll open a CrossFit gym. That's a great idea. Whatever. Anyhow.
we all think this at first.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It ended up not being that cool of an idea. Well, actually, I had a blast. But so we opened a gym, and then at that time, Instagram was like just becoming something. Like, I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, what year is this? I forget.
Ooh. 7 years ago?
7 years ago.
Around? Yeah. And so, anyhow, I thought everyone's stuff was really cool. So, I was like, man, how are they all getting these cool photos on Instagram? You know, I noticed everyone was kind of using their iPhones. So, I was like, ooh.
Which at the time.
Which was cool.
It looked so cool. And now yeah. I look back and I look at an iPhone That's 5 horrible. And I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being forward in time now and looking back and thinking that an iPhone X photo is bad. Like, where are the photos going to go to? Because like right now I'm like, wow, this is an amazing photo.
I don't know how they keep getting better.
I don't know how they're going to do it. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So then I was like, ooh, fancy me. I'm going to go buy an iPad. Show these people up. So I bought an iPad. I started taking pictures on the iPad. It's like, ha, this is cool.
And I remember seeing that at the time because I was like, oh, Duke's gym always has like the coolest photos. And it makes a difference. Like it attracts people.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then I thought, you know, this isn't good enough. I'm not happy with this. I'm gonna go buy a professional camera, right? Which I thought professional was the Canon 3Ti or
Rebel.
Yeah, the Rebel was like
$500.
Yeah, it's real crappy. But at the time I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I didn't have enough money to buy a lens, so I borrowed a lens from one of my friends. This is the Nifty 50. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, if you're just starting out, that's like a great combination. Lens is like $99.
So you're like telling people the beginner package would be the Rebel, the Canon Rebel 3.
That's where I started. Nowadays, I think there's so many more options, though, because they came out with mirrorless. They came out with all this other stuff.
Yeah. We'll get into that later.
Yeah. So then I started taking pictures, and then, you know, I upgraded my camera. I was like, man, I'm getting really good at this. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm obviously starting in the worst lighting ever. And I dove head first. I Googled everything. I reached out to everybody I could. I self-taught myself on everything that I know. And so I started taking pictures. And then one of my members asked me if I could take a family photo for him. I kind of looked up and like, yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do it. Like, I got a perfect park. It's around the corner. I'm going to stick you under that tree. I'm going to take your picture and, you know, send them to you tomorrow. So after I took their picture, we laughed for a little bit. They gave me $500.
Damn.
Yeah. And I was like, wow. Do you know how hard it is for me to make $500 at this gym? And I'm here from 4 a.m. until 8 p.m., 6 days a week. Wow. So these lights went off.
Yeah.
And right then and there, I like started saving everything I was making from photography, and I just invested my equipment right back into it. And within a year, I was making more money in a day than I was in the whole month at the gym. And then after 2 years, sold the gym and been doing this ever since. But I reached out to like everybody and anybody that I could when I was first starting. And I just wanted to shoot. It didn't matter what it was.
I remember when you wanted to come to my gym and shoot.
Yeah.
And you had amazing photos then.
Yeah, I just wanted to learn. And the more you shoot, the more you learn, right? And then I don't remember when it was, but after I sold the gym is when I actually had to get serious and charge money and, you know, I have a mortgage, a studio, and family, a wife and kids, and it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now you won't see me cruising around, like, just shooting people.
Yeah. Which is what most people are doing on social media. They're just trying to get around and shoot anybody they can.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if you're just starting out, I think that's the way to go.
I mean, it's the only way I noticed.
Yeah, like I shot college sports for a while, and I shot them for free. And then I worked my way up, and then I got paid, you know. And then once I started making enough money, I was like, I found a bigger job. And then you just kind of keep – once you make – say if you make $500 – and then you do that same exact job for $5,000, you're never really going to go back to that $500 job
because
mm-hmm. you're like, I did the same amount of work. Why would I do that? That's a waste of time.
And I have people message me all the time on Instagram and they're like, hey, man, I really want to shoot. And I look at their page and I'm like, your photos suck. I'm out. So, like, I guess if you're getting that experience, you start posting better photos and then you'll start attracting, you know, better clientele or a little wealthier clientele that can give you some money, like businesses and such.
Yep. And I think... like that's kind of where I'm at now is try to only work with companies and only do advertising jobs. Cause those are the only ones that are really worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I could see that. Like if that was me, that's probably what I would want to do.
Yeah. I mean, once you get a taste of it, it kind of ruins you for all of the other stuff. Like I don't even really like taking pictures for fun now. I'm like, it's not worth my time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I do love it. And, honestly, I would do it all for free if I didn't have my family to take care of, you know?
So when a business hires on, let's say a business is like starting up, they're like a kind of a startup business and they're doing their own photos or they have like a college intern doing photos for them and they're just trying to make things work right now and get the best footage they can. Have you seen like a high like return once they start hiring like a serious person, take some serious photography, like do they wind up making more money? Or getting like more leads for the company, or like, do you know very much
totally.
About that?
Totally.
Like, is there a lot happening once that happens?
Yeah, 100%. I'm trying to think of a good example that people would understand, but I can't really talk too much about it. You know who does that really well is Virus.
Virus.
Right. So they
stepped their game up quite a bit.
Like years ago, they used to do. There was a different guy I think that managed it, and like it was their stuff was really good. Well. I think that really changed that company's because I was always like, man, your guys' page is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, oh, everything's so great. I haven't looked at it now. I don't see it. But I know that really is helpful for companies because once you have good photography, I believe that everyone else takes you serious. If you have crappy photos and you're not going to take the time to invest in representing your brand the way it should be, then why would anybody want to buy your stuff?
That's like websites. Like when I travel, I'll go to a CrossFit gym's website, and if it looks like shit, it could be the best gym in the world, and I don't even know it. I'm just like, man, this website sucks, and I just want to move on because I just immediately think that everything else is going to suck.
Yeah, exactly.
People are going to suck. The bathroom's going to suck. The weights are going to suck. But it could be like the greatest gym ever, and I would never know.
Yeah.
So recently, I actually hired a cinematographer to just film me work out.
Yeah.
Like I just started this month. It's literally been like 2 weeks. Every time I work out, he comes. He just films me the whole time I'm working out. Like, I'll just – my warm-up, my workout, everything. He makes me a bunch of little clips, takes a couple photos here and there. He has a nice little setup. And I pay him, like, a monthly salary now. And he just gives me all this stuff. And I've been putting it up, like – and you were telling me that you noticed my content's a lot better.
Yeah.
And I was stagnant for a while on my Instagram. And, like, now all of a sudden, I get a couple hundred followers, like, every – couple days or something, I'll get like 100 followers, like, and it's like the most consistent I've seen my followers go up, and like I might not even get like an outstanding number of likes or an outstanding number of views on a video, but the constant feed is like building me, and I'm like, holy shit, this is super cool, and it's definitely worth it. But I mean, it's taken me a lot to get to that point. I have all these different streams right now of revenue that are coming in where I'm like, okay, it's worth it now for me to do this and I can afford to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm really excited about it. I think it's making a huge difference.
Yeah. I you can see the return right there.
Yeah. But for everybody else that's listening right now, I think that they're all just like, okay, I can't wait till they get to the part where they talk about how to increase like my page or my business, or I'm a trainer and I want to get more clients or this or that. So like, let's say someone right now is listening and they really want to up their game. What is like, let's start with the cheapest thing that they can do to get in to make their photography or their videos look really, really good.
You're talking about like a company or like an influencer?
No,
or
like a something that they can buy for their own video. So like if I had to say, and I'm not a professional photographer by any means, I would say if you get a gimbal, like a DJI Osmo.
Yeah.
So if you guys don't know what I'm talking about, for your iPhone, it stabilizes the image. And then when you're moving around the gym, it looks like super clean.
Yep.
And because most things are going on Instagram, you can't really tell the superior quality.
No.
So that would be my first pick.
100%. I think that's the most brilliant thing people can do.
And that thing's like
$200. Have a coach follow you around with that thing. Here you go.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps everything super stable and it looks insane.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. Especially if you have the X.
the X is amazing. Yeah,
it's crazy.
And then I don't know if people understand too, like when you go on your phone, there's like 1080 and there's 4K and there's all of these things that are on their phone, all the numbers, and they have no idea what they mean. Can you explain what those mean?
So it's weird. I'm kind of different than everybody. Everyone always like, there's these gearheads out there that, you know, they swear by, you know, shoot 4K and, you know, and all the best of everything. 1080 is fine.
Yeah.
You can shoot in 1080 all day long and nobody's like you and the rest of the world will not know the difference if it's 4K or 1080. Maybe some photographers and videographers, they might be able to tell, but most of the people, no one can really tell. It's on Instagram. You're like, what do you, how, but you know, you're like,
if you record it in 4K.
Yeah.
And let's talk about what does 4K mean versus 1080?
You got me. Seriously. 4K is better resolution than 1080.
Yeah.
You know, then there's 6K, 8K, all that.
Yeah. Which is like,
there's no reason for it.
Yeah. So if someone takes a 4K image and they crop it down to 1080.
Yeah.
That is increasing the quality, correct? And does that make it better when it goes to social media or not really?
Well, so you can shoot it in whatever you want to. So you say you shoot it in 8K. Well, you're not going to export that in 8K because TVs don't even do 8K, right? So say if I shoot a video in 4K, I usually export it in 1080. A, it's faster. I don't have to wait for it to render for an hour. B, people want their stuff fast. And they're not going to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
It's not like this is HBO and, you know, we're going for an Emmy. people are doing Instagram. It's Instagram and Facebook. Like, you don't really need that much. You know?
It's better to just put your phone on 1080. You get
I think so. That's my personal opinion. I'm sure people will freaking be barking up a tree. But, like, 1080 is fine.
And then, like, the frames per second, there's, like, 30 and 60, and is there 90?
There's 24. Oh, 24. Most people say, like, 24 is the best for interviews, like, if you're going to do an interview like this. I shoot them in 24. I shoot them in 60. I try to shoot everything in 60. If you want, like, a choppier look, you can change stuff. But I like shooting slow-mo in 120, which is just butter. And now with technology nowadays, dude, with the Canon 1DX Mark II, you put that thing in slow-mo, 120, press record, comes right out of your camera like gold.
Huh.
It's not even like, it's not even fair.
So it makes it automatically slow?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, and then you could speed it up and make it regular speed, correct?
Yeah, yep, okay. Yeah. But you don't want to. It's so awesome.
So let's say someone now is like, okay, I just heard him say like Canon Mark, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And now they're freaking out. They're like, okay, they're talking about cameras now.
Yeah.
So like, let's say, what's like the best starting camera besides the Rebel one that you were talking about before? I do believe like the Sonys right now are kind of taking over.
In some people's minds.
A little bit? So you don't think so?
I don't know. I think they're crap.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think right now? Let's say I'm listening to the show and I want to start investing in a nice camera.
Yeah. I think it would have to depend on what you want to shoot.
They're most likely going to be in the gym.
In the gym? They're going to shoot in the gym. So usually that's crappy light. That's really low light. It depends if you want to go DSLR or if you want to go mirrorless, right?
I think most people are going to want to go mirrorless because it's smaller.
Correct.
Right?
And you can travel with them. I personally think that the Fuji X-T2 is like the most epic mirrorless camera around.
Okay, X-T2?
Yep.
And how much is that?
That'll run you like, oh, yeah.
Is it too much?
No, I don't think so. Well, maybe, yeah, for your first camera. It's like, don't quote me on it. It's like 1500 to 2000 maybe.
Okay, and that's no lens.
Yeah, I think just the body. Yeah.
Is there a cheaper body that's out there that you think is good entry?
Yeah, they have some. I don't know what they are off the top of my head, but I like Fuji stuff. They're awesome for almost everything. Like, that's the camera I use when I travel around with my family. And like, I was in Hawaii like two or three years ago when mm-hmm. that trail run was going on.
Yep.
And I shot some stuff on the Fuji and it was great. Like, I love it. You can do anything with it.
I think I remember you telling me too, cause I was asking you a year ago, I think, like, what was a good entry level camera that was pretty cheap. And you told me that Sony A6300.
Yeah. 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 I mean the Sony, don't get me wrong, Sonys are great. They're just not for me. Right. I want simplicity. I feel like the Sony is too complex with their menu. You have to go too deep to change one thing, which I don't like. I like personalizing my buttons where
I
know where it's
at. Easy is better.
Fast and I'm done. You know,
a lot of the best photographers I've seen, they always have a Canon or a Fuji usually.
Really?
And then like the newer photographers that I've been seeing.
Sony.
Like the social media people, they have the Sonys.
Yeah. Sony's really good for video.
Yeah.
Right. If you're going to do like a lot of the CrossFit guys that do the journals and stuff, they use Sonys because they can travel along with them really light. They're small, compact. The lenses are small. I just never jumped on the Sony train. I kind of try to do whatever. I do the opposite of what people do, kind of.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's cool, I don't want to be doing it. I want to be doing whatever is not cool.
All right. So let's say now everyone's like, okay, there's a couple good camera ideas that I might want to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still inside the gym. I want to get the best footage I can for someone probably working out. Right, they're probably going to be moving around a lot. They're probably not going to be sitting there with a snatch, just sitting there and holding it and staring at me for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, let's get into like some settings and stuff that we'll put on the camera.
Okay.
But before we do that, let's talk about what kind of lens do we want inside.
All right, so inside. So you want the fast lens. Fast lens means like aperture. You want like a 1.2, 1.4, a 1.8.
And that's the f-stop,
that's
correct?
The f-stop, yeah. So...
So when they look at the lens, it says f1.2.
Yeah, or 1.8 or 2.8 or 4.
Is that going to make the background very blurry?
Yeah, so
that they're clear?
To get this clear, whatever it is, higher or lower, I say the bigger the number is, the clearer the background is going to be. The lower the number is, the blurrier the background will be.
Which, right? I think everyone's into the blur right now.
Exactly, which... Everyone thinks that the photographer does something crazy and special. We don't do anything. We just point the camera at the person, press the button, and somehow magically the background's blurry.
Yeah.
But everyone thinks that we do it. Mm-hmm. Trade secret right there.
All right. So you want a low, something like between an F or a 1.2 and a 1.5?
Yeah, you can do a 1.8.
Okay.
I mean, anything 2.8 is good in the gym, like depending on what time it is.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that crappy Canon Rebel with the 1.8. I think it's 8, so 50 nifty. Worked great. That's a really bad camera.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it worked great. Like, yeah. I think I went from that camera to the 70D, and I had the 70D for a while, and then I realized...
Which is a Canon.
Yeah, which is a Canon. I've been Canon the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then I went from the from the 70D to the 1DX, and then now the 1DX Mark II. But the bodies really don't have much to do with it. It's mostly the lens, right? So if you can...
That's what everyone says, right? Yeah. They're always like, invest the money in the lens.
In the glass, because you can... That's where it's at. That's where... Like, that's what the difference is the glass.
So let's say to someone now is like, okay, I know what kind of lens I want to get. I know what kind of camera I want to get. Before we get into the settings and all that, what's like the cheapest way? Like, if they go on to Craigslist, like I remember telling you, like, hey man, I might buy this camera on Craigslist, and you're like,
yeah, I remember that.
Well, look at the history and see how many photos were taken on it. Like, is there things they're looking for? Like, with the, if they're trying to buy a lens, like, do people fuck up the lens?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then like try to sell it, and like, how would you know? And then if you buy a camera that has like 10,000 shots on it, how would you know that?
Yeah, so you want to ask them for their shutter count, and shutter count, it's pretty easy. You stick it into a computer, it tells you how many photos the thing's taken, or it'll tell you right on the camera. It's pretty easy as long as you just Google it. Google mm-hmm. knows everything.
Yeah.
And then same with me. Like, I bought one of my first lenses. I think it was a 70-200 f4 on Craigslist. So I Googled, you know, hey, what do I look for? If it's broken, what are the main things to look for? If I don't want to buy this lens, I'm buying it on Craigslist. And boom, you know, 4,000 things come up in a second. So then when you go to buy your lens, you just do all those tests. Mm-hmm. Usually I'd bring a camera and I'd shoot pictures of it. I'd look at it, you know, and then walk away or buy the lens.
Oh, that's really cool.
You know,
it's good to know.
Yeah, absolutely. Because some people, bodies, I'd stay away from on Craigslist unless you really know that they're well taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know, like, if someone just drops it off the table and something's wrong and you just don't see it right now. You know,
yeah.
That's always the scary part. But if it's only like $500 or whatever,
yeah,
go for it.
But lenses are a little bit more sketchy to buy. Are they a little bit easier to buy?
Yeah, I've bought, I don't even know if I've bought a new lens. I think I've bought one new lens, and it was the Sigma 50. Everything else
which
I bought
on Craigslist.
Which is
the cheaper one, right?
Yeah,
those are cheaper ones. Yeah. And then if someone was to buy something new, I would just throw this out there. I think is it B&H Photo?
B&H, yeah, B&H Photo is the
way
to go.
They have tax-free.
Yeah. And then
B&HPhoto.com.
Yep. And then another one is, I hope Sammy's doesn't hear this, but... what I like to do is I'll go to Sammy's and,
for those of you who don't know, Sammy's is a local, local shop here in California.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. Go to your local camera store, right? Wherever you are. In California we have taxes and they suck. So if you buy like $1,000 lens, it's going to be like $1,700. I don't know, whatever. The taxes just suck. So I always like to go, hey man, can you honor the no tax from B&H? And 99% of the time they honor that, because if they don't, I'm just like, okay, cool. I'll buy it right now. I'll just buy it on my phone. And they're like, no. Like, we'll honor that. You know, it's like,
they actually have said that to me before. Yeah. Like, I bought something there and I brought a Rode, like a recorder for my camera.
Okay. Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we'll crack the tax off.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I was looking at this on B&H.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the same
all you
thing,
gotta
yeah.
do. It's just being smart, you know, like do your research and figure it out. And you want to support the local store. I don't want to buy from New York.
Yeah, I'd rather
I want
too.
To buy from them.
Of course.
And I get it right now. I don't have to wait 2 days.
Mm-hmm. That is good. And then they have warranties and such in the store as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we got the camera. We got the lens that we're talking about. And then we know how to buy that at the cheapest price, which is great, which is everybody always wants to know.
That's right.
And now let's talk about some settings. So now I'm looking at my camera, and it looks like it's in every language that the world's ever made, right?
Yeah.
So for me, when I look at my camera, and I'm still not a pro yet, and I have a Sony A6500.
Yeah, those are great.
And I have an f1.8 lens.
Yeah. At the 50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we say 50, we mean 50 millimeter.
Yeah.
So for everybody out there who doesn't know. So I know for me, I really want to play with the manual, which is the M setting, and the aperture, which is the A setting, right?
Yeah.
Because when I put those on and I fuck around, I realize I get really cool photos sometimes, and I'm like, holy shit, I just made a really cool photo. So when people are moving around in the gym, we'll talk about not moving around, and we'll talk about moving around. So now they're moving around. What kind of settings are we looking for to get the best image that we can? I mean, imagine that they know what good light looks like first.
Yeah. So settings, talking settings. So every gym's different. Every lighting situation is different. If you shoot in the morning, in the afternoon, or night, it's all different. So you don't really have a general setting, right? Because it's always different. Like if I shoot in your gym in the morning or if I shoot at night, my settings are going to be completely different.
Even though it's just the same movement?
Yeah. Just because of the ambient light from outside.
Okay.
You know, because if it's dark, you know, it's different. We're just using the lights from the ceiling
or whatever. Yeah.
But if it's in the day, I have all that light coming in. I don't even need those lights from the ceiling. So mm-hmm. a lot of that has to do if your camera body can handle the ISO, right? And ISO is like makes your photo grainier or not so grain, right? But supposedly that's the cool look nowadays because everyone will go on Visco and just put the film grain on there and it's cool.
Yeah. Is that what makes it like kind of like bleached white? Or does that just make it like really like hardcore looking?
No, the ISO.
Yeah.
No, it's,
when you're saying grainy though.
Oh, grainy. Yeah. No, grainy is like, what do you want to call it? It's just grainy. It looks like sandpaper.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Now I know what you're talking about now. Yes. I'm just thinking of so many different photos and like how you would describe them.
Yeah. So that depends, right? So you want to have a body that can handle a high ISO. I mean, it depends. If you're just shooting for fun,
yeah,
it really doesn't matter. You can put it up. You really don't want to go above 6400 on any camera, in my opinion. I never do. You know, some people will shoot 10,000 or 12,000, whatever it is. Good for them. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't like to, even though the cameras can handle it. It's just not my thing. And for me, you know, everybody says, or a lot of people say online is like, oh, if you're shooting action, you want to be at 500 of a second. That's the shutter speed, 500. And,
but shutter has its own setting, right?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's correct. Kind of,
yeah,
trips me out too. So I'm like, should I put it on shutter speed? Feels like this guy's going ham on the bike.
Yeah.
Or do I keep it on aperture? Like, yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So starting off, the cameras are so sophisticated nowadays. Aperture priority for most people is like in good light. That's all you need to do. Literally.
So what does that mean? Aperture priority?
That means that the camera is literally going to pick. If you're changing the aperture, so the 2.8 to 4 or whatever, if you put that on 2.8 and then you find the right ISO, like say 400 or something, right?
Do you put it on auto ISO?
You can if you want.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine with me. I could care less. That's great. The camera will pick the shutter speed for you, which will expose that image perfectly for you. So the cameras are so good nowadays, you could shoot all day long on aperture priority. That's even a good way for me. Actually, sometimes I'll start, if I don't have a lot of time and I have time to, something's going fast, boom, I'll throw out aperture priority. I'll look at the settings. Cool. I'll tweak, go to manual. I'll tweak it myself. Okay. This is where I want to be. Cause everyone has different looks, you know, they want to expose things differently.
Mm-hmm.
If you're moving around a lot from shade to bright light to shade, like aperture priority is the way to go. You're not going to, oh, I'm going to manual on the guys in shade. I'm going to change my shutter speed. Then the guy's going to go into the sun and I'm going to change my shutter speed. Like, dude, you don't have enough time for that.
Yeah.
Some people might. I mean, those guys are really good. They're probably, you know.
Yeah, they've been doing it for a super long time.
That's not me. I won't do that.
Okay, so what is the difference between manual and aperture?
Manual, you can control everything. So
everything.
Yeah, you control ISO, you control shutter speed, you control aperture. Aperture priority, you control ISO and control aperture.
Okay.
And that's it. So for gym stuff, so back to the shutter speed, 500 is what people say. I like to shoot gym stuff at 1,000. Anything that's moving, I want 1,000 or higher.
And that's frames per second?
Yeah. No, that's just one thousandth of a second.
Oh, okay.
So that's your shutter speed. I like it at 1,000. Some people, 500, 800, whatever. Cool, good for you. I'm at 1,000.
All right.
Or higher, right? At your gym, I want to shoot you at 1,000 or higher
because
you move so fast, right? And I like sharp images. I don't like blurry, out of focus photos.
Oh, that's cool.
So if my speed's at 500 and you're doing a snatch, you're not going to be tack sharp.
It'll be all blurry.
Something will be out of focus. Like your arms will be moving. Something will be moving. Your face or whatever it is, something will be moving. Because that's a quick movement.
Okay. So now that sounds really good for movement and all that. And I think that's what most people are probably going to want to be shooting in. It's probably like a lot of gym owners right now listening. And they're like, all right, I'm going to get a camera and I'm going to put it on this. And I'm going to start taking photos and I'm going to see how I do.
Yeah.
So the next thing is like, what about just like someone just sitting still?
Still.
And they're posing. Is it still the same?
I mean, so say for instance, if I'm shooting you and you're going to do 6 rounds of something, right? You're going to rest and then you're going to shoot. You're going to go back. I'm keeping the same setting. I'm not going to change. But if I'm doing like a portrait of you or something.
Yeah, a portrait. There you go.
I'm going to change my ISO. I'm going to keep my aperture where it's at because it's already at 2.8 or the lowest it is on that lens. And then I'll change my shutter speed.
Okay.
I like to keep mine at 125 for portraits.
All right.
Some people like 60. I mean, whatever. Everyone's different. I like 125.
Cool.
Yeah. It depends if you're using a flash or a strobe or natural light. It's all different. There's so many things, but like,
I think everyone's going to have natural light.
Exactly, then, for starting. Yeah.
They're not going to have a whole setup and all that.
Yeah. I mean, aperture priority is the way to go, personally. And if you're on aperture priority and your photos are blurry, look at your shutter speed. If it's low, if it's at like 30 or 60, then raise your ISO. Make your ISO higher until that number, your shutter speed gets higher, say at 400 or 500. Then now you can chill and practice with that.
Okay.
And that's the same thing with outside. If it's too fast, then just lower the ISO. If it's not fast enough, bring the ISO up.
And this is all on aperture.
Yeah. Dude, okay. Aperture's
awesome.
Aperture's
the way to go for us. For us fitness people.
Dude, a lot. So I used to shoot pro sports and college sports. Dude, a lot of the best guys use aperture.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Like, no one cares about if you shoot manual or not. Whoever cares, your client cares if you get the photo. They don't care how you shot it. They want that photo. Well, if you're in a situation and you miss the photo because you're in a setting you shouldn't be in, you're an idiot. you blew it. Yeah. Right? Like,
the shot is everything.
What are you doing?
Still number one is just the shot in general,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then after this is all said and done, there's still like editing and stuff to do on Adobe or whatever you choose to use.
Yeah.
What is like the easiest, most streamlined way for someone to take their footage and just maybe modify it a little bit before they post it on Instagram or their social media outlets?
From their camera?
Yeah.
Man, when I first started, I was using iPhoto.
Okay.
That's because I couldn't afford Lightroom. Yeah. I couldn't afford anything else. And iPhoto was the way to go. And then I got a little more money and I got to buy Lightroom. I was like, this is awesome.
Did it make a humongous difference?
Yeah, because you can buy presets.
Okay.
You know, you can Google whatever you want. Freaking Under Armour preset and like 15 of them will pop up. And
oh,
like,
really?
Oh, like, wow, download that. You know, it's like $100. You're like, sweet. Now my foot. Whoa, look at that. My photos are epic.
Wow, you can download Under Armour's preset?
Pretty much similar to it. Not the exact, but like.
Does it say Under Armour when you're on there? Because I've never even been on it.
Some people will say like, oh, I have this, you know.
Okay.
And then if you know someone that works somewhere, which who you know is kind of everything, you just ask them, hey, what are the settings at for that photo? And they'll tell you. And like, cool, thanks.
Now you have wow, that preset. Is super rad. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Or whatever look you want. Film look, you know, moody look, contrasty, whatever. Just Google it. Someone will have a preset of it. You got to buy it, but download it into your Lightroom and guess what?
And they're usually
boom, one button.
And then they all just turn into that?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That is rad. I did not know that. Yeah. That's super cool.
You'll have to fix the exposure and the shadows. And
on every
highlights.
Photo or just?
Depends on how you shoot them.
Yeah.
Or what look you're going for. But yeah, like 90% of the wedding photographers, they do that. Batch all and preset and then export them.
Because I think the biggest thing for most people right now is like they want to get their social media better. I think everyone wants their social media to be better, especially nowadays when, like, when people are making so much money off of social media.
Yeah.
It's like a legitimate job now.
Yeah.
I mean, I started doing more professional photos on my CrossFit Chalk Instagram, not just my own, and just putting like more like knowledgeable stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And just putting and just like concentrating on that. Like that's been growing as well. Like my Instagram followers on there just like over the last month or two have gone up like over 1,000, 1,500, maybe 2,000 people.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Because you're just keeping it consistent.
Yeah. People want to see good photos, right?
Yeah, they see that and it like instantly changes everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They think, oh, wow, good photos. This place must be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, then you go in there, not your place, but say you have a page that's like, oh, it's totally epic.
Yeah.
And then you go and you're like, wait, this place is not epic.
It wasn't that cool. But you got in the door and they got some money out of you for sure.
Yeah, right? Exactly. But you know what I mean? Like good photos, I believe on or social media is their key. It's key.
Yeah.
It'll make it break you. And I'm the worst at social media. So
yeah, so, I like how you said you wanted to talk about social media and the photographers that do social media. So this is the Real Chalk Podcast, and it wouldn't really be a Real Chalk episode if we didn't talk some shit. So
So my biggest like social media gathering thing, whatever you want to call it, it's pretty funny because I don't have a lot of followers on Instagram. I don't really post a lot. A lot of stuff I do is NDA. I can't even post.
Yeah.
So
I know I've asked you for photos and you're like, I can't. And I'm like, fuck, this is like, it's like having a friend that's a Navy SEAL. And you're like, I can't tell you anything unless I kill you.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck, bro? I just want a photo. I don't want to die. Yeah.
So it's kind of weird. Like you got all these people and the people that shoot and no offense to you, whoever you are. I mean, everyone's different. You do your thing. That's good for you. But, you know, you'll see someone with like 150,000 followers that shoots chicks in bikinis and, it's like that's their whole page, right? And then to the the regular person or the inspiring photographer, they're probably like, wow, man, this guy's killing it. He's got 150,000 followers. Like, shoots hot chicks all day. Like, da-da-da-da. Like, man, he's probably making so much money. And then you ask one of the girls that, you know, he shot. And you're like, hey, how much did he charge you? And they're like, oh, he did it for free. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. Why? Oh, he wanted the, you know, the followers for me because I have a million followers. I'm like, ah, oh, that's cool. Well, that's cool. And then you'll ask another chick that he shot with, and same thing. You're like, ah, that's it. Well, how does he make any money is my question. And then, you know, I'll get an Instagram and say, hey, wow, that's a message. Oh, this guy has a lot of followers. Huh? What's he want? And the guy will ask me, hey, how do you make a living shooting photos? And I'm like, oh, looks like you're doing pretty well, buddy. So I don't know. Why don't you tell me? Yeah. No, no, man. Like, you know, I know guys that like shoot Playboy and they're asking, how do you make a living?
Wow.
So it's a, if everyone that I know that is, that actually makes like I have two kids, I have a wife, a mortgage, a studio, like everyone that I know that actually makes a living, their Instagram game is not good.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're spending it in the most, you know.
Yeah. Like I'm trying to get business. Yeah. I'm like, I'm not Instagramming like, hey, here's my photos. And I don't really care how, cool my Instagram is. Right. I care like my priority is different, right? Like my priorities are about building my followers. My priorities are taking care of my family, right? So everything changes. If I was like a single dude, yeah, I'd probably be shooting whatever and caring about everything else. Yeah, but like I'm not, you know. So it's interesting. And with Instagram nowadays, like so many people buy followers and buy likes.
Yeah, and I think that's really sad because a lot of people might go to someone's thing and see that, and they're like, oh my God. And it's never as it seems.
No.
It's like never is as it seems. So I've actually gotten better to where I can kind of look for a few things to see if they're full of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Like, wow, you have 100,000 followers, but you have 44 likes.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Or you have 1,000 followers, but you have 3,000 likes. That's really weird.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing.
I like just the guy to let you know there, whoever's out there that buys them and like has the likes and the followers, we know.
Yeah. You
know, maybe not everybody, but we do.
I know. Like the people who really matter and are really like trying to find like people with sustenance out there, like that's like I'm at 90.5 or something and I would do anything to get to 100. And I'm like, fuck, I should just buy them, but like...
buy 10,000.
But it just not... It doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because if I'm trying to convert these people to sales, like on either my online program or to buy like a book that I'm selling or whatever it is, it's like, well, it's 10,000 people that don't really matter anyway.
That aren't even there.
So what is the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, you look cooler just for that first second.
Yep.
And there's so many people I just want to message and be like, dude, I fucking hate you. I don't know you, but I just want you to know that like I have pure hatred for you because you're... You're fucking things up for all of us who are trying really, really fucking hard. Oh, but yeah, funny. That's like for you guys out there, you don't know. Like if you see someone who has 200,000 followers and they have 500 likes on a photo, which is still a lot of likes, 500. But like if you have 200,000, it just doesn't add up.
There's a problem there.
There should be a few thousand there for sure.
Or if it's opposite, if you got 500 followers, but you got 5,000 likes on every one of your photos and it's like a piece of grass or like a dog's face or a shoe or something. You're like,
yeah. How?
So the 5,000 people that aren't following you like that shoe.
I wonder what happens though for these companies. Like if a big company comes in and wants to pay you per post,
they'll look at your your insights.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they'll figure it out.
Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll say, well,
I know
good.
A lot of those people are not a lot, but, I have some few friends in that kind of industry and, the companies are now suing those people that are falsely saying that they have this many followers and likes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because they're saying, oh, well, if you post me, you give me, you know, 10 grand and I'll get you business. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden there's no business. You're like, huh.
Well, like once a year, actually, Instagram comes in and they wipe all the fake ones clean.
Yep.
I think it's once a year, like once every couple months.
It.
And even like Dan Bilzerian.
Oh, no way.
He went down like a few million.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? So, like, even people like that are trying to
get
a few just so you look ridiculous. You
know? Like, I got 10 million. No, I have 20 million.
Yeah, like, what, Kim Kardashian's got like 120 million or something.
Oh, my gosh. What do you, like, who? Well,
or I heard Beyonce posted a photo that got so many likes that it paused Instagram.
No way.
Yeah. They got like 10 million or like, I don't know, or maybe it was that Gomez girl or something. She's got so many likes that like Instagram was like, had to fucking take a break.
it doesn't go high enough.
Yeah, it's like insane.
Oh yeah. What do you think about the CrossFit photographers? Not CrossFit HQ, but like regular CrossFit photographers.
Everyone I've ever met is weird. They're like super creepy weird. Like they just want to shoot everybody. I want to say someone's name specifically so bad, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, don't.
But he loves to shoot people naked.
Oh God.
And he's just like,
I don't know if he exists anymore. If it's the same person.
Oh really?
Thinking about. Yeah. Yeah. I don't, I think I know who you're talking about.
But he would always be like, yeah, let's do a shoot. ... naked.
Yeah. Yeah. Like... Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. That guy's gone. I think he might be in jail, to be honest with you.
Oh, nice.
I'm not quite sure.
Oh, this is,
I think
this
he shot like an
really
underage,
turning around right now.
I think he shot like an underage girl and like the parents found out and they like freaked out. And I think he literally his website and Instagram and everything's gone.
Wow. Yeah. Cause I haven't seen him in a long time.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, we're probably talking about the same
person.
Even
if not,
but...
it's good content right now. We're crushing. But I think that a lot of the CrossFit photographers, there's some that are really good out there, that have really good photos, but I feel like a lot of them have like the same style.
Yeah.
Like when you say the graininess on the photo, like it's kind of like that 300 movie type of style, you know, it's got like
turn the clarity up,
the comic book style. Like,
yeah.
What is it like on Instagram? Like the XP Pro or whatever filter it is.
Yeah.
But when I first saw your photos, I just remember just seeing, like, it was just such a different photo than I was used to.
Uh-huh.
And I have this other guy that comes to the gym. His name is Aaron, and he...
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, Aaron. You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
he's awesome.
He has a Canon Mark D or whatever, and he shoots for Nike and stuff and does a lot of cool stuff. And his photos are insane as well.
Yeah, he's great. I like him.
But there is a humongous difference when I have, like, someone who's been doing it for a while or, like, they've geeked out on it so much that, like, they just know what... a dope photo looks like.
Yeah.
And I think when you say, like, even before, when you're like, I don't like using the same cameras everybody uses, you don't like using the same filters everybody uses either. Like, I feel like your whole style is totally different.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you get someone who has a style like that, people are always like, dude, where the fuck are you getting those photos?
Yeah.
And that's what kind of creates a buzz on your Instagram or your social media outlets.
Yeah, 100%. And you can tell the photographer to edit them however you want to.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard. You know?
I feel like it's always been easy. Like when they're like, well, how do you want the photos to look or whatever?
But just tell them.
Usually they give me something and I'm like, oh, those are so rad. And, and I just get really happy about it. And I'm excited. But I do think that people need to start, especially if they're a business owner, like they really have to take some money and pay someone to help
100%.
Them out for sure. At some point, I think it's extremely valuable. And it's something that I've only like seriously invested in and been getting really serious about as of lately. And it's made a huge difference for the social media world.
Yeah.
And everybody that I know that I follow, I notice that their photos, it's no coincidence that I'm like, it's not because they're like super attractive or they're giving me like amazing content all the time. I'm like lured in by the photo.
Totally.
It's like a $100 bill on a fucking fishing line and it just keeps going down the street.
Yeah,
and I'm like, the thing is so cool. You know, I really want it.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a huge difference. And I just think that people are underplaying it. Like they think that they just have to post every day.
No, you got to. So you don't
have to
post
quality.
A lot. Yeah, exactly. You don't have to post a lot. You just post quality.
I've even heard companies like Vans and like some of these huge surf companies, like they went from posting multiple photos a day to trying to get people's attention to just posting like once a day.
Yeah.
But it's like a super rad photo with like some meaning to it or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's been making a humongous difference for them. Like I know Vans specifically had said that.
Wow.
They're like, we're in Hurley.
Yeah.
Because they're both here. For those of you who don't know, like their offices are here in California. And a lot of the people who work for them actually work out at my gym. And they were telling us now, like, yeah, we just like to do one photo. It's got to be a sick photo, cool story behind it or whatever. And they're getting more into that realm now than ever.
Yeah, you don't post a bunch of crap. It's not going to get you anywhere.
It definitely does not, yeah. But there's people out there like Gary Vee. You know Gary Vee?
Oh, God.
I think Gary Vee is really cool. Like the first week that you like hear about him,
like the first time you hear about him,
yeah, you're like, oh man, this guy's cool.
Then you realize you're absolutely full of shit.
It's not even that he's full of shit. I just feel like he says the exact same thing every day.
Yeah, yeah. My friend did it. My friends actually videoed him for a shoot, and we were just like, dude, come on.
Like, did you actually meet him?
Yeah, we're just like, come on, man, you can't fool me. I'm looking right in your eyes, man.
Well, he did make some really cool businesses that were like millions of dollars or whatever.
Yeah, and he
did it off of like kind of social media stuff and YouTube and all that.
Hey, I'm not hating on Gary
Vee. I just think it's interesting that he just says the same thing all the time and people still dig it.
As long as he's inspiring people, that's...
Yeah, and he is. Know,
do your thing. Mm-hmm. That's good.
But he says post so much that people are sick to their stomach.
And yeah, I would just unfollow.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
You post too much, I'm not following. I'm done. I don't even want to see once a day. I want to see just something dope.
Yeah.
You know, if I see something cool, cool.
Yeah.
If I don't, then I'm done.
And I agree.
I don't have patience for that. I don't need to see 60 photos of yourself or of you in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see one cool one. I'm like, rad.
Or just one like that. Just super rad butt photo just every single day.
Once a day.
I was listening to the Joe Rogan. Have you seen his stand-up on Netflix?
No.
And
he's funny.
He's talking about how, like, you know, people are asking for, you know, advice from presidents and all these things, and everyone's, like, all into politics and just who to ask permission to do things and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, and there's people out there that have 8 million followers with just butt photos.
Oh,
he's like,
gosh.
This is a different kind of human that, like, we're not really sure how to classify. But there's 8 million people that would rather follow this ass than, like, Donald Trump.
That's so crazy.
You know what I mean? And he's, like, going off, and I'm literally dying.
Oh, that's good. Joe Rogan's funny.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you, like, just the power of social media.
Yeah.
And then the power that you have with the photos that you take and the content that you're posting.
Totally. Yeah, if you're a photographer and you're starting, you should definitely have a social media page of, you know, your Facebook, your website should have your best work on it. And then your Instagram is pretty much like people say it qualifies you as like your portfolio nowadays, as photographers. But I've never gotten any business from Instagram. That's just me. Mm-hmm. To everyone out there that does, good for you. You're awesome. I've maybe gotten like 40 inquiries and, not one of them has had a budget. So yeah. And I mean, when I say budget, I don't mean like $1,000 or $3,000. I mean a budget for the shoot that you're going to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people think like, oh, you know, like $250 for shoot. Like I'm stoked. And then this company will print out a poster of it. Well, no one coming up knows that poster is a usage fee. You need to be charging for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need to be charging for every single photo that's being used anywhere. And I didn't know that when I first started. I had to learn that. And now it went from, you know, sports to now all I do is pretty much advertising. And then I'll do the CrossFit stuff. And that's fun because I like to capture the emotion. And I like to I love the CrossFit mentality. I like the atmosphere of it. It's fun.
Yeah, the atmosphere is cool. I'd imagine shooting at those is probably...
Yeah, it's great. And everyone's freaking shredded. It's great. I mean, it's a great time.
So with the new platform that they're doing right now for regionals and all that, or the absence of regionals, are you going to be going to like Wadapalooza now and like the Granite Games and some of the other qualifiers that they're using?
You know, I don't know. We haven't really talked about that. So just to clarify for everyone out there, I freelance for CrossFit HQ. So I shoot their regionals and I'll do their games. And then, I'll do some journal work for them throughout the year. And, yeah, I don't know much about it, but I guess it's changing somehow.
Yeah. I, for one, that's another episode in itself, but I think that what they're doing is cool.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I think they're concentrating more on, like, health, and I think that's really awesome. That'll help change a lot of people in general.
I think it's interesting that he wants 150,000 affiliates.
That he does?
Yeah, he was saying, I see the future as 150,000 affiliates.
How many do you have right now?
15.
He has 15,000?
Yeah.
So he makes like 7 million or something? What is that?
15,000 times 3,000 a year?
What is that? That's a lot. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So you want 150,000? Oh my gosh.
Or 15 million maybe a month? No, that's a year maybe.
A year. That's a year. That's a lot. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, maybe it's either 15 or 150.
Well, not to mention each seminar every single weekend.
Mm-hmm. Which are packed.
Which are packed.
Yep.
Which. Yeah, those, yeah.
Do you ever go and shoot at those?
No, I don't shoot those. Uh-uh. There just happened to be a lot of changes, I think, after the games. I'm not quite sure.
I'm excited to see where it all goes. It'll be interesting. I think it's always cool to I think every 5 years something happens, whether it's CrossFit changes or maybe it goes away and something cool comes out, like some fucking competitive Zumba or like you don't know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's interesting. We're in a cool time.
Yeah,
I think
totally.
As a gym owner, it's either really scary or it's really exciting.
Yeah.
But I think if you're doing things right, like for me, like I'm not really nervous about it no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's cool. I think before we end the show, I just wanted to full circle around. So we did talk about cameras for people to pick up.
Yeah.
Cheapest way to start.
Yep.
Making your social media outlets look great. We said the gimbal.
Yeah, totally.
The DJI
Google too.
Osmo.
Like freaking, literally, if you don't know the answer or you don't trust somebody's word, just Google it. Do your own research. Like mm-hmm. that's what I did. I did my own research. Oh, people, all this, and that. No. I'll do my own research, and I'm going to make my own decision with my own gut.
Have you found that the best photographers are the same, or they went to school and did stuff? Or
so that's funny. This is actually a pretty funny story. I was on a shoot. What was last week? 2 weeks ago? I don't know when it was. 2 or 3 weeks? Maybe 2 weeks ago. And it was a pretty large advertising shoot. Can't say any name because it's not coming out, but it was a pretty big shoot, and I had a. You know, I had 3 assistants, and then there was a video side that we had, and there was like 7 assistants for them. There's probably like 25 people on the set, maybe 30 people on the set. And my assistant was, well, the guy that moved the lights around, he's a light assistant. He was asking me if I went to college for photography. I said, no, I went to the University of Google and YouTube. And I believe I learned a lot.
University of Google and YouTube, so, I like that.
This guy, I go, oh, well, you obviously did because you wouldn't have asked me, right? So where'd you go? You know, and he told me, you know, New York School of Brooks or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, I'm really impressed. That's really cool. He started talking to me, and he was using these words that I had no idea what he was talking about. But he was doing it in a manner where he was, like, trying to belittle me in front of, like, the clients. So finally I was like, hey, you know, man, like, honestly, like, no one here knows what you're talking about with these crazy words, like, that you learned. Could you, like, simplify that for me so I can understand it, and then we can communicate on a normal level. He's like, well, I don't even know how you're shooting this if you don't even understand that word. And I'm like, all right, well, here's the deal. I'm shooting, and we hired you to be the assistant, so please just do your job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not going to impress anybody here. Like, my best advice to assistants is I assisted too. That's the best way to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be a fly on the wall. Like, I don't care where you went to school or what you shot or who you know or what set you moved a trash can on yesterday. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
So no one else does either. Like, if you just told me, like, oh, I was on Beyonce. I did a shoot for Beyonce yesterday. Well, everybody that doesn't know anything is like, oh, you're so cool. But for the people that know things, dude, you probably set up the snack bar and you're telling everybody you were on a shoot with Beyonce. Like, that, we don't care.
Yeah.
Period. So anyhow, I don't know where I was going with that, but don't do that.
Yeah, I like the University of YouTube and Google comment was very great.
Oh, you have to. Like, that's the best. Literally. Like, if you know how to do it, Google it and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't.
Agreed. I mean, you can figure out anything on Google and YouTube nowadays.
Yeah. And say yes to things that you're afraid of. That's when you grow. Like, if you don't know how to do it, figure it out. If you fail, so what? What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're not going to get hired again. Who cares?
And it's actually like this podcast. I mean, I had to figure out how to use all the equipment.
Yeah.
I tried to Google and do a bunch of things. And, you know, you have people say, like, oh, how to start a podcast and this and that. But, like, they didn't have my equipment. And they didn't, you know, do anything. And I recorded a bunch of podcasts that sucked, you know. And then I got better at it. And I found out how many fucking gigabytes I needed on a chip. And, like, what kind of mic was going to do this and that and all these things. And sometimes I spent a lot of money on some shit that I didn't even need.
Yeah, yeah.
And it definitely happens. But, yeah, I'm glad that we got to go over some entry things that people can do to start increasing their social media accounts, some equipment that they can buy, some settings that they can play with, ways to buy things
at
the cheapest level, the University of YouTube and Google as their best teachers.
And number one advice, if you want to – and I mentor a lot of people and you know, I do a consulting for them, if what you want to say. And if you want to do photography for a living, learn how to use strobes. Learn how to use lighting. Because anybody in the world can use natural light. I'm a natural light photographer. Cool. What do you do when someone asks you how to change or manipulate a scene when it's nighttime, but you have to make this living room look like it's a daytime? You know, that's what you have to learn. If you don't learn that, you're not going to really, unless you're like a wedding photographer, you only use natural light and, you know, a flash or something.
Yeah.
But if you really want to make a living, you got to learn strobes and you have to master lighting. Otherwise, you're going to have a rough road.
All right. Well, before we end the show, let's talk about where people can find some of your photography.
On my Instagram. On your Instagram? I never post on.
You have some photos on there, though.
I do stories. I do some stories.
Yeah, there's some cool photos on there I've seen.
Yeah.
You've definitely had my naked ass on your story at one point.
That's true. That's very true.
I remember you were laughing when I posted that.
So good.
So what is your...
My Instagram is Dooker. It's D-O-O-O. K-E-R.
So three O's.
Yeah.
So watch the stories, I guess, and don't look at the page.
Well, it just proves, like, for me at least, like, I don't have a lot of followers, but I make a living. You know, I pay my mortgage. I pay my studio. Like, my family, my wife doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And it people shouldn't be not inspired when they aren't, when they don't have, like, 10,000 followers or 20,000 followers. Like, who cares? In my opinion, for if you're doing what you're doing, like if I could post some of the stuff that I've shot, I'd be really cool on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? The income is more important to me, so I will never do that. But the people that know, that need to know, that hire me, they're the people that I care about. They're the people that hire me because they know I've shot these people, which for me makes me happy.
Yeah,
I don't care about the general public or how cool I am with them.
But for everybody else who's listening, I think it's important for them to know how important it is for them to have a good photo.
100%.
For their business.
100%.
Because it's going to drive more business for them.
Yep. And it's all who you know. Mm-hmm. And it's all about being, like what you said earlier, you said, dude, all the photographers are weird.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of them are weird. Yeah. Don't be a weirdo. Just be a normal dude. Have conversations with people. Be nice. Say hi. And then you'll get work. It's a relationship business. There's a million photographers that are way better than me at taking pictures. Guess what? They probably don't make a living.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't know why.
Yeah. They probably shot an underage girl somewhere. And
they probably did.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you got all the information that you need to increase engagement on your social media outlets. Some tips you guys can use to shoot photos of people in either your gyms or maybe you want to shoot yourself or you and your friends are in the gym and you want to have cool photos for Instagram or you just want to get into photography in general. And there's just so much information out there and so many different types of cameras and settings and this and that. And I hope that this clarified some things for you guys so you can be a little more Insta-famous, as we should say, in this world right now. Insta-famous is everything, so... I hope you guys enjoyed the show, and we will see you on another episode coming up next Tuesday.